This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Jenny hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Countrymen, lend me your ears. It is your old friend Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you worldwide in beautiful high-definition audio, whatever that means, from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth. You know it well. You love it. Delighted, everyone, to be here with you this week. Delighted, as always, it's Phil here. How you doing, everyone? P2 sitting here opining, discussing, sharing his life and times with you out there in Phil World, you the fans, making you a little more enlightened, hopefully a little smarter, going out there in your lives, going out there wading through those chaotic musical seas, discussing all things music, all things technology, business. What's happening out there, Phil? What's happening out there? Well, I can tell you, folks, I've been out there at the front, and now I am back with the news. Thrilled to be here. What a beautiful day we have. What a beautiful show we have here for you this week. Oh, man, I'm very excited. Coming off a huge weekend. You've heard me talking about it the last several weeks. My old friend Wes Cunningham from my high school band, The Suburbans. We listened to some of our old tapes. Fantastic. Cassette audio here on the podcast. Only the best for you out there, folks. Talking about our high school reunion. Me reuniting with the Suburbans. My high school band. Me on bass. Cunningham singing and playing guitar. Me singing and playing bass. And then our old friend Mark Baker on the drums. The tattooed rocker himself, Baker. Well. You know, Cunningham did pose the question a couple weeks ago. Is anyone interested in this? I don't know. Maybe. I hope you are. I hope we're not just boring you. I hope you're not going to skip ahead to our next section. But for those of you, I think we can all identify with it. You know, getting a little older, seeing old friends, doing what we love to do, trying to make a living, all that kind of stuff. It all sort of revolves around this, idea of the high school reunion, something a little uncomfortable to deal with, frankly. Oh, man. But it was a great deal, man. Friday night we got there. We had a nice event there in Dallas. Yeah, so the Suburbans took the stage, man. It was great. Great time. I was a little nervous playing bass. You know, I'm used to kind of jumping around on my guitar. And I play a lot of bass here in the studio. But, so it is a little bit different kind of an animal. I've been playing by myself for a while. My own band. But playing guitar, lurching about the stage, getting lost in my stuff. But this was a little different. I was playing bass. So I was concentrating a little harder on, you know, playing the songs right and everything. And, my friend Cunningham was kind of the singer guitar player guy. We shared a lot of the vocals on some songs, but he wrote most of the songs and sang most of the songs. So I was really just kind of a sideman, you know, in the Suburbans to some degree. Yeah. So I was a little sheepish about talking to the crowd or, running around the stage or whatever I do at my own show, you know, because it's more of a three-headed monster of the Suburbans, you know. I was like, what do I do up here? Do I run around? Do I take out the drumstick and just play a drumstick bass solo out in the middle of the room, you know, go stand on a table out there like I might do with my own show? Well, I didn't do that. I kind of kind of hunched over. Had a great time. There's stuff on Facebook somebody threw up there. Boy, you got no control over this Facebook. I don't know what the settings are. I don't know. I can't figure it out. I'm not too into it. I just try not to do anything real stupid or controversial that could get out there. You know, have my picture taken with weird people or something like that. So, yeah, I don't know. There's all kinds of albums. I don't know. There's a few pictures of the Suburbans on stage. So check that out at your leisure. It went well. We played four songs, I think it was, and it was great, man. It was great. Got pretty good reaction. You know what? It went about just like I thought it would go. I feel this thing's been really mixing me up because you don't, you know, this high school reunion deal, you're kind of like, well, we're going to get the band back together for a couple songs. The last thing you want to do, the last thing yours truly, P2 here, wants to do is think too much about it. I'm Peyton Manning, right? I just call the show from the mic. We just play whatever song kind of pops into my head, whatever the room needs. But that kind of goes out the window in this environment. And the last thing I want to do is think too much about playing a gig, you know, and wring my hands of what songs we're going to play, how this is going to go, and is anyone going to be listening, and all that kind of. But yeah, that's the hard thing about this thing is you had to take all this stuff into account. You know, Baker, our drummer, he has a hard job as the drummer. He wanted to rehearse, and I don't blame him. And Wes, you know, he kind of goes, man, I don't know if I remember all the lyrics. And we kind of had to. So we had the rehearsal here. It was a lot of fun. But your first reaction is, well, man, we'll just get there and mess around. No big deal. But you also don't want to make a fool out of yourself. So there's this difficult pulling of the poles there, you know. You don't want to pay too much attention to it and get all worried about getting up there and playing. You just want to enjoy the party and all that. But at the end of the day, man, you're playing music, you're getting up there, you've all got to kind of be on the same page. And so it kind of went against my recent habits to rehearse, to really think about what I'm playing. Oh, it was healthy for me. It was good for me. It was good for me. You grow in everything you do in this business. Music, always learning something new. It's interesting. I had a talk with, it was kind of fun. The fact that I still play music for a living, you know, I take a little, pride in that. That's what I was doing in high school, that and playing some great JV golf. You know, you hear me out there, golfers from Highland Park High School. Oh, we had some good times there on the golf team. You know, one of our, good friend of mine, Harrison Frazier, he's been on the PGA Tour for, God, I don't know, 12 years or something like that. He was at the party. He and I kind of hung out. We're good friends from way back. Frazier, great player out there on the PGA Tour. Yeah, we kind of remarked that, you know, that we're like maybe the only two people. I don't know. There might be a couple others, you know, still doing what we did in high school as a living, you know, here as we're at the reunion. So I don't know. Whatever. There's something to be said for that, I guess. Still grinding it out, playing music. It was a great time, man. It was a great time. You know, it was funny talking to so many old friends, and you kind of have the same conversation with everybody over and over again. The things that you really want to know about someone you hadn't seen in a long time, you kind of go, man, where are you living now? And they go, well, I'm living in Austin, or I'm living in Denver, and so where are you living, Phil? I'm living in Fort Worth. And the other thing is just, you know, do you have any kids? You don't want to ask anyone, am I right or am I wrong? You don't want to ask them if they're married. Like, hey, did you ever get married? Come on, man. This is the 20-year reunion here, dude. You know, you don't want someone to say, well, you know, I was married, or yeah, I've been married twice. No, I'm not, or I don't know. You don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. So I had to play that deal a little bit during the reunion. You know, you don't want to ask too many questions. Where are you working now? You don't want to ask that either. Because someone said, well, I'm funny you ask. I'm currently unemployed. I was fired. You just never want to ask too much about marriage or employment right off the bat. So a good thing is, where are you from? Where are you living now? You know, and then they might say, man, I've got some kids, and you can talk about kids. And, you know, that's really about all that's interesting. Anyone's job isn't too interesting. Even music, you know, is not – no one seemed to want to hear a whole lot about my exploits. They all just said, man, you still doing music? I was like, yeah, you know, I am. And that's about the end of it. I said, what are you doing? They said, well, I'm an account executive at something, Martin and Smith or something. I don't know. It's never too interesting. So those of you out there, the reason I'm saying this is just all of y'all out there, all wringing your hands over what you're going to do for your job and your career and how you're going to get ahead and all that kind of stuff. Man, let me tell you what. No one cares about any of that but you. It is what it is. Find something you're good at. Whatever. The important thing, man, is to also be doing something you like to do, you love to do, maybe. If you can find a way to make a living doing that, you'll be a hell of a lot better off. And if you're, shoot, man. If you're blessed to have kids or something, then more power to you. Anyway, that seems to be what people wanted to talk about at the reunion. So take that for whatever it's worth. The high school reunion. Well, man, we're very excited today. Now, there's a little trepidation here as I talk to you here today, folks. Are you listening out there? I'm a little hesitant. I have received word. I have received a request from a longtime friend of mine who is rumored to be coming in here in our second guest segment here. He is none other than former Honey Brown guitar player and current Miranda Lambert guitar player and a friend of mine since childhood. We went to camp together. The great Alex Whedon is rumored to be coming onto the podcast here in our second segment. I say rumored. I just have gotten phone calls. I don't know. He's showing up here at the zero hour. So let's just hope that it's not just me, Phil, with you in the second part of the show here today. If you hear me just talking about an old album or something of mine and no one else talking, oh, we're all going to be the poorer for it. I'm telling you. If I just got to kill a segment here by myself, which I am perfectly willing to do. But, man, if Whedon can get into town here, he's meeting the Miranda Lambert bus in town. They're heading out to play some gig somewhere, heading up to Fort Worth for a bus call. He goes, dude, I'm hustling. I want to come get on the podcast. Dude, he has been all over me about getting on the podcast. He's a listener out there. We called him Electric Al in camp. I went to a Blue Mountain Ranch there in Colorado as a young kid. Didn't know anything about it. Went up there to Colorado. Never been to Colorado. I go to camp there. I'm catching rainbow trout, building fires in the woods. I was hooked. I go back all the time now. Everybody knows a little about my Colorado background, summers up there, all that kind of stuff. It's just a part of who I am. What can I say? What can I tell you? But, man, I was a Dallas guy. Well, man, we got some Fort Worth guys there up at the camp. One of whom is none other than Alex Whedon. What does Whedon show up to camp with? I think he had like a Gibson Les Paul or something and a little amp. Like he didn't even have like swimming trunks and cowboy boots. He had like a few pairs of jams, the old floral print shorts. Whedon, dude, just breaks out his guitar. Now, I was playing guitar when I went to camp. Started playing about 6th or 7th grade. So I picked up his guitar. I played a couple Beatles licks. He was like, hey, man, you can play. Cool. And, man, we just always hit it off, always just playing Zeppelin riffs and stuff. So anyway, Whedon and I were great friends at camp. There was a couple times I came over to Fort Worth in like high school, I think, or late middle school maybe, and jammed with Alex and Darren Norman, another Blue Mountain guy. The podcast's own Darren Norman, he's been on before, a friend of mine here in Fort Worth. Some of those Fort Worth guys, some of my formative years of learning how to just play with a band and stuff like that. But Whedon was always a great guitar player, always had great guitars and gear and amps and all kinds of stuff. And, we went to college. I lost touch with him through all those years. And then, it was years later, man. We were playing in El Campo, Texas. I happen to remember that. Greek Brothers. George, how you doing down there? Hope everything's going well. You heard my Ryan Lynch oyster story years ago about Lynch eating the 48 oysters. Yeah. Greek Brothers story. Another time. Look at the archives. P2Podcast.com. Look up the Ryan Lynch eating contest, band eating contest, one of the early episodes. Anyway, who are we playing with but Honey Brown, our old friend Fred Andrews' band? Who's his guitar player? Who is that guy over there shredding on the Gretsch? I just go, dude, that's Electric Alex Whedon, my old friend Whedon. So me and Whedon kind of got the hookup, played a lot of shows with Honey Brown back then. We had the same booking agent, Matt Pivitas. We play a lot of festivals and stuff with Honey Brown. And then it was great because they'd finish their sound check, we'd finish our sound check, and me and Whedon would just get up on the stage. I'd grab a bass, he'd grab his guitar, or vice versa. And then we'd just sit there and play all those old, all those old Van Halen songs and The Cults and Zeppelin Ridge. Whedon could do them all, and I could hold my own with him. We'd just go back and forth, just riff. We'd be in like this country bar. There'd be a couple of, old graybeard country dudes in there early during soundcheck having some beers. you know, me and Whedon are up there just ripping out the Wonton song from Zeppelin or something, or, you know, Dancing Days or something. Just up there stomping away, laughing our heads off. It'd go on for hours. Someone goes, man, we all quit playing that stuff. Come on, man. People are trying to eat or something. So we, Alex had some good times there at his times with Honey Brown. And then, at that time, my road manager was Jordan Powell, the podcast's own Jordan Powell, our road manager for years and years. Well, I get that dreaded call from, Bill Lambert is his name, Miranda Lambert's dad. I think he's an old cop or something. He's, Phil, this is Bill Lambert. I'm interviewing Jordan Powell here for to be Miranda's road manager. So he's calling me for a reference. I think it's the first time I was ever called for a reference on anything. So, anyway, I gave Powell a glowing review. I knew he wanted the job. It was going to be a good job for him. So I said, you know, despite the berry-flavored skull-chewing tobacco, all is well with Powell. So anyway, so Powell gets the job. What happens next is I hear the next thing is man, we're bringing on Whedon. We're bringing on Whedon as our guitar player. So Electric Al, that's how he came to Miranda Lambert's band. God, she's just blown up. It's been amazing to watch, hasn't it? She got all these awards and everything, and man, she's kind of carved a niche for herself. You know, she's a lot different than these other some of these other country gals. From my humble perspective here, someone who doesn't really follow big-time country music a whole lot, but she's, I don't know, she's got, she doesn't seem like, she just doesn't have a reputation, should I say, as being, she's just kind of this mediocre singer who married a producer or something like that. That's not her deal, man. She's kind of known as sort of a singer and a rocker and a writer, you know, and a little more of the rootsy real deal kind of thing. I mean, she certainly had a career to prove that. There's a laundry list of bands out there, country bands who've had number one hits, and then they don't seem to sell any albums. They don't, you know, no one goes to their shows. And then, man, lo and behold, here the last few years, Miranda Lambert, and I didn't really realize this, but Jordan Powell told me recently, he goes, man, we really haven't had that many big hits. I mean, we've had some singles chart and things like that, but not any just super huge hits out there. He goes, but, man, she's gone platinum every record, I think. I'll ask Alex if that's true, but yeah, she sold millions of records and, man, really like sells out these big venues, man, some of them in a lot of markets, man. It sells a lot of tickets and sells a lot of records. I think that says a lot, man, to just be able to sell hard tickets and, you know, draw fans and sell music, even without maybe conventional country, you know, mush radio play. I don't know, a bunch of cheesy, you know, top 10 hits. So anyway, there you go. Let's hope in our next segment coming up here on the P2 podcast that our good friend will be here, Electric Alex Whedon. I bet he's going to want to talk some old days and some hard rock, because that's where he is. That's where his heart lies, man. Let me tell you, I've known him my whole life. Let's hope Electric Al is here in our next segment. Next. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast, coming to you from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas, where the guitars hang on the wall, where you can find anything your heart desires in the musical world. Just grab a guitar, sit down at the organ, play Pete Coatney's drums. It's all for you, folks. Phil here. Welcome, everybody. Well, as promised, we have an old friend here. An old friend, because we've gotten old now. He, you know him and love him as a songwriter and guitarist in the Texas music world now for a long time. Probably with Honey Brown maybe first, stepping out with Honey Brown as well as his own solo stuff. Now he is the lead guitar player for Miranda Lambert, out there just gathering up Grammys and platinum albums and selling out auditoriums throughout the world. But I just know him as Electric Alex Whedon, my buddy at Camp Blue Mountain Ranch when I was a kid. Alex Whedon is here.
Yay.
Electric Al. Well, people want to know what Electric Al is doing in town here. You're a Fort Worth guy.
I'm a Fort Worth guy.
And you went to school here, grew up here in Fort Worth,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Arlington Heights High School.
And Alex and I met at camp. We were, I don't know, 10 years old or
Man,
9
I was
years
trying
old.
To, I was trying to think of that earlier. I couldn't remember if we were like 14 or 7.
What's
a long
the difference?
Time ago, though.
But I was one of the Dallas kids. We went to camp up there at Blue Mountain Ranch in Colorado, and one of the guys in our cabin there was Alex Whedon. Well, now, what guitar would you have shown up at camp with?
I think I had an Area Pro 2.
Area Pro 2 electric guitar. Yeah, and you were on the edge of your bed just cranking out the licks.
And you and I were the only two guys that would bring them. But remember those other kids from Dallas?
Yeah, had their own stuff.
Peter and
Peter Lee.
Jacob.
Oh, man, yes.
And
oh, yeah.
And they would rock them, and we were trying to be like them. You know, we'd show up the next year with our guitars.
Yeah, they were like the Dallas guys were kind of older. They were like 15.
Yeah. Oh, they were awesome.
And we were like, they were just playing like, yeah, so me and Whedon, we brought our guitars to camp. But the great thing about Blue Mountain was it was such a fun camp, and you did have a lot of free time to just sort of jam around. We always had the guitars out.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So what were we listening? That was what mid 80s?
I guess so.
Do you remember do you remember the Judies?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Washerama.
Yeah. Do you have their new stuff?
I went and bought the reissue of Washerama.
Man, all podcast listeners out there, listen up. Go get the Judies. Washerama. They just reissued all the Judies recordings. All the pretty girls in high school.
Yeah, it was like $17 too. I felt like the biggest idiot buying this album.
Yeah,
but I bought it to relive the moment.
Oh man, I know it, and it sounds just. I was amazed how good it sounded and how clever the songs are.
Bass, drums, and vocal.
Yeah, and like a bass, just kind of with a pick, just gurgling along. Well, who were some of your early? You know, what were you into back then?
Man.
Of course, you and I, we were all into, like, what, just Eddie and Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And I mean, what kind of, did you teach yourself? Are you taking lessons? How did you get playing?
I took lessons for 3 years.
Yeah.
When I first got the guitar in fifth grade.
Did you have a guy come to your house or
I
something?
Did.
Or?
I did. And he taught Darren.
Okay, Darren Norman, who was recorded here with his
Philip
band.
Philip Closeby, remember Philip?
Yeah.
He taught him. He taught Matt Clark. I don't know if you remember Matt.
Yeah, I know Matt Clark, sure.
He taught a bunch of us. He would come to
Jason all those guys were in our cabin. Yeah. They were all in our cabin at camp.
Jason Cox, too, he taught him.
Yeah, man, everybody took guitar lessons back then.
Yeah.
Every one of my friends.
Oh,
I mean, I was maybe you and I are the only ones of our group of friends that still play guitar, you know.
Probably so.
Probably so.
We're the only dumb ones, huh?
So you were in high school band? You had bands in high school and stuff? Or you kind of a lone wolf, a gun for hire?
Man, I was more of a playing the bedroom guy. And I had a band that in high school, but we never played out.
Yeah.
And then finally in college, I got in some bands that played out.
Yeah. Who would that have been?
What were we called? Granddaddy Long Legs at one point.
Were y'all in Austin?
No, it was Lubbock.
Oh, that's right.
Out of
Tech. Right.
We had a weekly gig at a place called On Broadway.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, then we had another band called Southern Kind. Chris Collins was in that. I don't know if you remember Chris Collins.
Yeah, I know the name. Yeah, how do I know that?
He was a singer. He went to Country Day. He's a pretty good singer.
Fort Worth guy.
Yeah.
So you started kind of, I mean, did y'all record anything or were y'all just?
We recorded like kind of five songs, band. You know, and right. then the rest was all covers.
Right.
Yeah.
So when did you start? Did you move to Austin?
Then I moved to Austin. I moved to Austin to play music.
What prompted that move? You just said, man, I'm going there to.
Old buddy of mine, Matt McCormick, that we played together in like seventh and eighth grade all the time in the garage.
Right.
We just decided, let's go to Austin and try this and do it.
Were you just practicing all the time? I mean, these guys are just. Practiced all, or did you play for fun? What was kind of your?
I was never one of those. And you could probably tell I was one of those guys that never practiced.
Would you play along to like records and stuff and just?
Yeah, I did for a while, but my main practicing, I would sit. And I still do it today. I'll hold a guitar and lay in my bed and watch television, and I'll sit there and I'll pick out theme songs and commercials.
You need to make like a DVD, just a guitar according to Electric Al. Now, I call you Electric Al. Is it true you had a sign one time that said Electric Al?
Oh, yeah. Neon. Neon,
see,
baby.
That was the when you were at camp, we were sitting around. You're like, yeah, man, for my birthday or something, my mom gave me a neon sign because you played the guitar. It said Electric Al.
It did.
And you turn your sign on. So I've always called him Electric Al.
And I remember my
I didn't know if there was really a sign or if that was just part of the legend.
Yeah, I remember my my guitar teacher came over one time and we turned on that sign and I remember he was about to go into convulsion wanting to get back into the bars, you know. He saw that neon sign.
Yeah, he was just like, oh man, this reminds me of where I'm from. The electric Electric Al, sitting in his bed, just kind of playing along. So what was your first guitar, the Area Pro?
I had one. Actually, I had a guitar before that that was this horrible. It didn't even have a brand name.
Yeah.
It was just made in Hong Kong. It was. Yeah. I remember I was watching MTV. Had just come out. I guess I'm showing my age here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we're the same age.
Yeah.
Know, yeah, you know.
And Ted Nugent came on a video, and I remember I told my dad, I said, man, I want to play guitar. And I was just kidding around.
Right.
And that day, we went to Ridgely Music and bought this guitar with no name brand or anything. It was a little Strat copy.
Right.
And I still have it today. It's hanging on my wall at home right now.
You still have it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's something I tell young guys because I've made the mistake of, you know, my first couple of guitars, I was like, man, I don't like this guitar anymore. And I'd give it to somebody or sell it to someone's mom so they could give it to them for Christmas. And
you always regret giving it.
You regret it. You're always like, oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. So when was your first, in Austin, you're playing around. Do you have some real guitars by that time?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got a Santa Claus brought me a Les Paul custom.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
In about the seventh grade, and I still have it today. It's in mint condition.
Yeah?
I just got it signed by John Fogerty about 4 months ago.
Yeah. Really?
He signed the back of the headstock.
But there's not many people you'd let sign your guitar,
no.
Probably.
And he was one of them for sure.
Where were y'all playing with Fogerty?
We did the ACMs with Miranda,
and
we played traveling band with Fogerty and Charlie Daniels, Brad Paisley.
Holy
they all came
cow.
Out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Electric Al. That's paying dividends.
Oh, yeah. Signed. So I'm sitting there with a Sharpie waiting for him to sign it.
So when did you get? How did you get into the whole Texas music? Were you in Austin? Did you meet other guitar players? How did you kind of get out there with Honey Brown?
There was a guy named Gus Salmon that I'd played with.
Yeah, I played bass for Jack Ingram.
Yeah,
yeah, I know Gus.
And he had played with Matt McCormick.
Really tall guy.
Real tall.
Everyone in Ingram's band was like 7'3" or something for a while.
He was phenomenal. He was a great bass player, great singer, everything.
Gus, yeah.
And he was in Honey Brown, and he called me. And
I didn't know he was in Honey Brown.
Yeah.
I just knew him. I just saw him playing with Jack all those years. Yeah. We were playing a lot with him back then.
He got the Honey Brown gig, and they were doing a live album. And they called me to do one gig with them, to come in and just be the lead guitar on this one show, live at the Satellite Lounge in Houston.
Remember that CD? Indeed. So that was your first show with them?
Yeah, it was going to be my first and only show.
You just learned a few of the songs?
Yeah, I was playing the whole thing with charts. You know, I was just reading charts doing this whole show.
Fred Andrews just kind of showing you the chords.
Yeah, it was great, though, because, man, I'd been doing my Whedon thing, and there was like 30 people at every show, you know, and I'd have to beg them to come.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, I get out there, and there's like 300 people, and I thought it was the greatest thing ever. And they liked it, and they were just like, man, you want to just go ahead and play with us?
Well, talk about a great room, the Satellite Lounge.
Yeah, it was great.
That was just one of our before we really started playing a lot and doing good in Houston. But we had a few good shows early there at the Satellite Lounge.
That was a cool place.
Great room.
It was like an Antone's. It had that cool.
It was a warehouse, but it wasn't like real big. You know, it was kind of a good size. We played some gigs with Trish Murphy there and Jonathan Richmond, you know him?
Yeah.
He played... He was on the Something About Mary. He was the guy in the tree playing the guitar.
Yeah,
the Boston guy.
That's right.
You ever heard the Modern Lovers? Roadrunner? You ever heard that? Roadrunner.
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah.
It's known as one of the early punk songs, one of the first punk songs, Jonathan Richmond.
Did he write that, Jonathan Richmond?
I think he did, the Modern Lovers.
Oh,
and
cool.
Jerry Harrison from the Talking Heads was in that band.
Wow.
So then Fred Andrews, everyone knows... Fred, our friend from Honey Brown, he just goes, man, just join the band.
Yeah, it was him and Clay Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
He was back in the band, too. And they were just like, man, you want to just go ahead and do this? And after about 2 weeks, all of a sudden.
See, that's what happens when you show up and you play too well. They're like, yeah, just bring this guy on. His eyes were all big up there on stage, man. He loved it. Bring him on. So how long were you with the Honeys?
I was with them for 3 years. Exactly.
Yeah. And about four different drummers. They had that same guy.
About four different drummers. Yeah.
Every time I showed up, I'm just like, Chris, right? Just know I'm Jim. Just you weren't here last time? God, who was the guy y'all had, though? Brian.
Brian Mendez. He's awesome.
That guy was awesome. He moved to L.A.?
Yeah, he's still great.
Yeah. I heard he moved out there. We played with him, with you guys in Corpus. Man, that might have been the last time I saw him. So how did so the Honeys, man, you started making the rounds. So that was your first kind of...
That's my first real, you know, making a living playing guitar.
Yeah, just getting some gigs.
Yeah.
We hooked up with you guys. I never put – we just started getting booked by the great Matt Pivato, Mustang Music Group. And he booked Honey Brown.
Yeah.
Who else?
Everybody.
Kreger. Of course, he claims he booked everybody until they all fired him.
Yeah.
Randy Rogers.
Yeah.
Boland.
Corey Morrow.
And then he'd pick up, like, Rick Trevino for, like, 2 weeks or something, you know, just – Or just some guy that, you know, maybe is between agents or something.
Yeah.
He'd slip in there and book a few festivals for him. So I was booking Pivotos. He says, man, and we hadn't played in El Campo down there at the great Greek Brothers restaurant. And we showed up to play with Honey Brown. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I knew of the band, but I didn't know much about it. But little did I know that Electric Al was their guitar player.
I just joined. I think I'd been with about a month by then.
Was that it?
Yeah.
So we showed up there, and who is there on guitar playing a? We've been playing a big White Falcon, Gretsch.
Oh, no, I would have maybe what would an you orange playing? One.
An orange one. That's right.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. And you're up there with your guitar. I go, dude, that's Whedon, man. And Jordan Powell was my road guy. He was like, who's that, man? I got to know that guy from camp. Man, we're good friends. Yeah. But I hadn't seen you maybe.
Oh, it had been probably 20 years.
For years, yeah. So, of course, we caught up.
Yeah.
And we went to, we played a bunch with Honey Brown.
Yeah, we used to play together a lot.
We'd get up on sound check and just play through Zeppelin songs like it's some cowboy bar,
great.
So how did the whole Miranda thing
that
happen?
Was from our good buddy Jordan Powell.
The podcast's own Jordan Powell, Phil Pritchett's road manager. So he was there first. I guess he was the whole impetus.
Yeah, I had met him with Honey Brown, I guess with you, or maybe with Jack, or just however, you know.
You and Powell kind of hit it off.
Yeah, we just hit it off.
For some reason, early on. Yeah. You know, he's always talking about Whedon, you know, from Honey Brown.
We kind of hit it off at Steamboat one year up there.
Yeah.
And Miranda's guitar player and bass player got let go, and Jordan called me. Mm-hmm. And actually, believe it or not, I'd already been offered the gig by Miranda's dad.
Yeah.
She was opening up.
What's his name again?
Rick Lambert.
Rick Lambert, yeah.
And she was opening up for Honey Brown at that bar in Corpus.
Okay.
The place where they have the good fish sticks.
Yeah. Surf club?
Surf club. Yeah. Executive surf club. And I remember he came up to me and goes, hey, buddy. And he elbowed me in the side and gave me one of her CDs and goes, if you or anyone you know wants to play in this outfit,
you know,
it's going to go somewhere.
Had she already done the Nashville Star thing?
She hadn't done anything. And I was just like,
because I'd met her at the Firehouse or, you know, before any of that.
Yeah.
So by the time she was on that show, I remember kind of going, oh, I met her, you know.
Yeah.
A couple times. She was out and around. Yes. And when, and Powell, yeah, I got a call from Rick Lambert, you know, needing a reference.
Really?
On Powell.
On Jordan?
Yeah, so I gave him a glowing review. Yeah, and then it was shortly after that. Was he with her very long before you got there?
He had been there maybe 4 months.
Right.
But I remember, you know, Rick had asked me that, and I was just like, okay, whatever. I didn't think anything of it, you know. And about 6-7 months later, I see Miranda on a Leno.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there going, oh, my God.
Wait a minute.
God,
didn't I turn down this gig?
What did I do? You know, I was telling my girlfriend at the time, I was like, I turned down this gig. You know, I'm an idiot. And then 3 months after that, I was at the studio with Honey Brown, and I got a call from Jordan Powell.
Is that
and
right?
It was just like,
hey, man, you want in on this thing, man?
And I mean, it was just, you know, sure, I'll take it.
So how long has that been now?
It's been a little over 5 years.
Golly.
Yeah.
God, time just flies. It just flies.
Yeah.
So what was your first shows with her? Was she out playing with somebody else or just doing her own gigs or what?
We were doing kind of...
opening for people?
Yeah, bars. Mm-hmm. I remember my first gig was on some, like a boat or something.
Boat?
200 people there or something.
Like a private barge party or something?
Yeah,
or?
It was like, that's what it was. It was in Kentucky. And I remember, you know, I thought it was the greatest thing ever. And Miranda came up to me.
You're easy to impress, Al. Easy to impress.
Miranda came up to me.
Honey Brown gig.
Please don't quit. Please don't quit. And I was like, this is great.
I'm not going anywhere. Are you still living in Austin?
I am.
So you've been in Austin ever since you moved down there?
Yeah, since 95.
Oh, man. Yeah. I remember you talking about your first night. You had your own band, Whedon, just simply called Whedon.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me in confidence once that that you had sold, what did you say? You said, like, man, it's hard selling CDs. You know how many copies of that Whedon CD I sold? I said, I don't know. How many? You go, one. I was like, one? You go, one. It turns out it was a friend of my mom's.
We went aluminum foil.
Yeah, that's right. Or I don't know. It was on some record website or something. I was like, hey, is your record on there? He goes, yeah, mine's on that website. You know how many I sold? One. I remember that with Powell. Just loved that. Jordan was always going, where's Whedon, man? I wonder if he sold one album. One. It is tough, man, putting out your own stuff.
Oh, so hard.
That stuff is good, though, man. I remember your Weed and CD being very impressed.
I'm still proud of it.
Where'd you record? Did you record it with a guy down there? Did you do it
in
yourself?
In Austin at Mark Addison Studios.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And he produced it. He's a great producer, man. He's got a really good ear for...
Does he have his own place, or does he move around
studios? He has his own place. It's out on a farm.
Right.
And it's gotten nicer and nicer through the years. You know, we were doing tape. That album was tape, actually.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Analog.
Analog. Half-inch tape.
Well, man, you are listening to the P2 Podcast. Phil Pritchard here with my old friend Alex Whedon, guitar player of Whedon, of Honey Brown, and now 5 years with the award-winning Miranda Lambert. Join us next week. Electric Al is going to be right back. We're going to talk in depth about his experiences with Miranda, about the time he got me on stage at Red Rocks to watch him rock out, where both of us fulfilled our seventh grade guitar playing fantasies that night. I was just watching in the wings, but it was close enough. Well, thanks for coming in, Al. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, thanks
man.
For having me.
All right, man. Stay tuned, because Al is here. We're going to play some Zeppelin in the Vault. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast. Thrilled to be with you here as always for this week's edition of the P2 Podcast from Trinidad World Recording Studios. Love you, fans. How you doing? P2 here. Well, 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 we talked about it. We threatened to do it, and we're doing it. Getting the lead out on the vault, man. Oh, derided in their time. Panned by critics worldwide when they came out. Yeah, hard to believe, isn't it? Led Zeppelin, man. People go, dude, this is the sloppiest, crappiest band of garbage I've ever heard. Horrible, horrible. They didn't have any hits. They didn't have any songs that were on the radio all nice and neat. They were this bluesy, made-up deal. In fact, the rumor, I don't even know if it's true, but Pete Townsend of The Who heard Led Zeppelin and said, man, that's going to go down like a lead balloon. I think it was Pete Townsend. Anyway, Zeppelin, dude, reigns supreme all these years later, man. Who is mightier than Zepp? And I'll tell you, man, I think we did another Zeppelin record a while back, probably Zeppelin 2, I believe. But, man, Zeppelin 3 over the years. This record we're looking at here today stays with me as much as any of them, man. It's probably my favorite Zeppelin album. It's not one you hear a whole lot. People talk about 4. That's got Black Dog and Stairway and Misty Mountain Hop and all that great stuff on there. Zeppelin 3 is a little, that's a little under the radar. But, dude, the Immigrant Song there, kicking off this segment. Oh, man, you just, You know, if you just don't even have blood in your veins if you're not going to just stomp your foot and bang your head a little bit. Just come on! It's just in all of us, man. So, there it is, man. The Immigrant Song. Pounding away. Rocking your lame ass. Zeppelin. But man, what I love about this record is just, it's got the yin and the yang going, I think, better than any of the other Zeppelin records. Just the folksy, you know, druids dancing around Stonehenge kind of acoustic stuff. It's got songs like that on here, as well as the bombast. It's got it all, man. And I just find myself really getting lost in the slow songs and the misty, whimsical, Robert Plant poems and Jimmy Page just kind of playing a mandolin and an acoustic guitar, you know, and then just coming right back what's this one called? Is this Celebration Day? Hold on one sec.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Celebration Day. Dude, this song just kicks so much ass. I know that's such a lame way to describe it, but what else can you describe? Dude, this the slide comes in here at the top. It's just kind of this eager anticipation builds up, and then it just stomps away. I love this one, man. Celebration Day, Zeppelin. Check it out.
Faces cracked from smiling, all the fears that she's been hiding, and it seems that pretty soon everybody's gonna know.
Oh man, just keeping it loose, man. Loosey goosey. Zeppelin, you know, they had these tight little changes, you know, but really, man, you wouldn't call them a tight band in a lot of areas, or I wouldn't anyway. Man, there's a lot of flow, man. You know, I say it every week on the podcast. Forgive me, young guys, bands out there, ladies playing music, trying to make good records. More power to you, but let me tell you what, man. Take a little heed from Zeppelin, dude. Just listen to those kick drum patterns that John Bonham plays. They're just all over the place, man. He's almost playing with the lyric, the syllables of the song. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And then the next, he won't do it the same way, the whole verse, or verse to verse, or through the chorus. You know, there's no producer saying, man, just stay with the bass line. Play exactly, just hit the bass drum every time he plucks a note. You know, like we are wont to do in country music, you know. All this emphasis, this tireless emphasis on radio and getting a hit and all that. Garbage, I say every week. Let it rock, dude. You will not be sorry. Your fans will love you if you can get fans. You're not getting, let me tell you what, man. There's too much of a market, too much of a glut of people out there who suck trying to get on the radio, and they're all making the same song. Get lost. If you know if you think you got something to say, something to play, then, dude, get lost somewhere. Go out in a cabin in the woods, build a fire, grow a beard, write some songs that are long and rocking, like that stuff, like this Zeppelin stuff, dude. And don't think about anything else. And just wail away. Oh, that's what we all need to be trying to do, man. I try to do it. I need to work harder at it, and I will continue. You do too. But, man, let's go to the bit of the softer side of things here on this record, which is its saving grace, which I love so much. Tangerine. Dude, I love this song. Just so awesome. Soft, grooving. Oh, man. If a band came in the studio with this song today, you know, I would I'd rip my own head off. Tangerine. Love it. Love it. You may be thinking, oh, man, I've heard that song too much. All you Zep heads out there have. But, man, you know, it's worth a careful look. Careful look. Zeppelin 3, dude. Zeppelin 3's got a little bit of everything on there. Heck, we didn't even play Bronyar Stomps and these other great ones. Save Me from the Gallows Pole. Jank, 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 jank. You know, great stuff all over this album. We're going to leave you with That's the Way It Ought to Be, man. Love this song. Acoustic, long, wistful. Just get in a hammock on a breezy spring day. Turn this on. You know, drink a beer and just listen to this stuff. Awesome. Well, folks, don't you know you can book Phil Pritchett and the full band? 817-733-5256. And hey, the new Blueprint Garage Volume 3 is just waiting for you there for $4 at p2tunes.com. Also, you can get it on iTunes if you just want to download a couple of tracks. A lot of y'all just going out there and grabbing that Gary Floater, Dirty South, just downloading the one song. Hey, man, it's all good. All the nickels roll to me. They all roll to me, you know. Well, have a great weekend. Our thanks to Electric Alex Whedon from Miranda Lambert's band dropping by, sharing his wisdom on rock and roll and our common past. We will see you next week on the podcast. Take care of each other out there, folks. Much tougher.
Tell you.
you no more. I don't know how I'm gonna do what mama told me. My friend, the boy next door.
What you see, is that the way it all